Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 379, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. By Babel streams we sat and wept, for memory still to Zion clung. The winds alone our harp strings swept, that on the true the stanzas 1, 4, and 5.
1, 4, and 5. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the book of Revelation, thus not as stated on the board, Matthew 25, and not Matthew 25, but we shall read Revelation 13. But first we shall read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who was like unto the beast, who was able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, and tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, the God of all grace, the Father of all mercies, the fountain of all good, who doeth with the inhabitants the army in heaven and the inhabitants of this earth, according to thy will, and there is no man that can stay thy hand or say unto thee, what doest thou? Then thou wast granted another Lord's day unto us and our children. It is a solemn Lord's day, wherein this day also much has come to a standstill. The places of vanity, the places of wickedness, they are empty. But also concerning thy house, then it has been requested that the numbers may be limited because of the spreading disease, and to that end a few may gather, but the greater part are in their homes. And, our Lord, then we humbly ask thee that thou may grant a Sabbath day blessing, that thou may work lovingly and mightily with thy Holy Spirit, and that these solemn callings upon the face of the earth, that thou may use them for us and our children, that we may be stopped, that we may be turned, that we may come to ourself as that prodigal son in a far country, and that we may be given to consider what belongeth to our peace, Lord. Then we may thank thee as far as that we know, that hitherto that thou wast graciously watched over our people, and then we may humbly ask thee if it may be according to thy will, that thou may continue to do so, and that it may be then thy goodness, thy long-suffering, by the work of thy Spirit, that may lead to that true repentance, and as a poor sinner to seek pardon with thee. Ah, Lord, May it not be for the hardness of the heart. May it please Thee to bless Thy word in this evening hour. Then in this morning hour, we have heard of that band that has come to arrest Thy dear Son, and by nature, then we belong to that band, one more on the foreground, another one more in the background, but all belonging to that band. And then it is so necessary that by the uncovering and enlightening work of Thy Holy Spirit, that we may be given to see our awful condition, to be given to experience that bitter enmity that lives in our heart against Thee, against Thy Son, and as against free and sovereign grace, and that we may be placed with that little flock whom Thou wast chosen, who has been wrought upon. Ah, those disciples, they were still so ignorant concerning the priestly office of Thy dear Son. But soon the light may arise. May that take place in this Passion season, where we may be given to meditate upon the suffering of Thy dear Son. Lord, then in this evening hour, then we are called upon to speak of solemn matters. Wilt Thou grant that solemnity a deep impression? It is a matter that concerns us all. It is the great day of judgment, when Thy Son shall appear in His glory and in His majesty, when the trumpet shall sound, and that we shall all be called, the whole congregation, none excluded, young and old, to appear before the judge, O Lord. May then the solemn callings, the footsteps of the King, which are so clearly heard, may they be used in Thy hand to that end, that Thou may convert us and our children, as Thou doth convert all Thy people. Wilt Thou bless the manifold means of grace in the church? Remember the family circles. Then many times in these days, they may be together. May that opportunity be used for fathers and mothers concerning the things of the Lord. Remember the instruction of our children. Our Christian school is closed. Then we ask Thee, wilt Thou help? And remember the teachers with the preparations and the markings of the lessons. And may they be given to remember their students in the way of prayer. Wilt Thou help fathers and mothers to that end with their added responsibility? Wilt Thou help the children? Give them diligence, give them courage, and give them prayer. We commend Thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto Thee, the established churches. Remember our theological school, also at the moment, then the instructors and the students. They cannot meet together, but the lessons may still continue. Wilt Thou grant Thy gracious help? Remember the persecuted church. Remember the Jewish people. Remember all mission work, also our mission field, also in this day. Then they could not gather. O wilt thou remember them with their people? Lord, remember this nation. Then we humbly ask thee, under these distressing circumstances, wilt thou grant to our leaders federally, also provincially, wilt thou grant them wisdom and understanding, and all may these callings be used, that also from our leaders, that it may be heard, that the Lord is speaking, and that as a nation, that we have sinned so grievously, that our guilt is heavenly high, that the Lord is just to punish us, and a call to repentance, but, O Lord, that is not only necessary for our leaders, for our country, that is necessary for the church, for our family circles, and in our personal life. May we be given to examine each our heart under these callings, whether there has even been repentance of one sin, with that sorrow that we have sinned against a good doing and a righteous God. Ah, Lord, cause thy face to shine upon us, turn us, and then we shall be turned. Wilt thou remember the young couple who were united in holy matrimony in this past week? 'Tis the first Lord's Day together. It is a different Lord's Day. Wilt thou grant thy blessing and convert them, as thou hast converted all thy people? Then we commend unto thee the sick and the afflicted, the mother with her dreaded disease, with her weakness, an old father with that dreaded disease in the past week, has went for further consultation, received heavy tidings, and now they are awaiting for further consultation. And then we may humbly ask thee, that thou may grant wisdom and understanding to the physicians, if there may yet be means when thou doth bless them, O Lord above all. Wilt thou remember his never dying soul? Remember him together with his dear wife. Wilt thou grant that special place at thy footstool, where they may cry unto thee? Remember all under the doctor's care. We remember all the mourning ones. Wilt thou remember our elderly ones? Then undoubtedly their thoughts shall be filled with anxious care. Then we may humbly ask thee that thou may graciously watch over them. Remember also our care home with those that may lovingly care for them, and that for our older ones, that this calling may be used for a blessing and for their eternal welfare. Lord, wilt thou remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters? May the solemn times also be used in their life. Remember the family circles. May these solemn callings, may it bind our family circles together more and more in love around about thy holy word. And word is not so, may it please thee to give it. Lord, we now humbly ask thee that thou may bless us in this evening hour. Open thy precious word. Wilt thou grant the application? Take away everything that could be a hindrance. Wilt thou remember from the youngest to the oldest, then in this day, then an elderly father and mother may remember that thou wast spared them for another year in holy matrimony. Grant a humble heart. Grant that one thing needful, Lord. May it also please thee to care for us. Wherefore, fathers and mothers, undoubtedly how troubled and how fearful they can be, concerning the provision for their family circles. May we be given to bear one another's burdens. May our eyes be upon thee, and that with an impression, ah, Lord, if thou would deal according to our sins, then we would not even have a place upon this earth. Give a deep impression thereof. Ah, may sin truly become sin, guilt become guilt, that true godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance and a crying for mercy, as it is in thy dear Son. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 253. The stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. O Lord, thou judge of all the earth, to whom all vengeance doth belong. Arise and show thy glory forth, requite the proud, condemn the wrong. Oh, always the extra collection today is for the Student Support Fund. Psalter 253, the stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 19, question and answer number 52. What comfort is it to thee that Christ shall come again to judge the quick and the dead? Answer, that in all my sorrows and persecutions, with uplifted head, I look for the very same person who before offered himself for my sake to the tribunal of God and has removed all curse from me to come as judge from heaven, who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation, but shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joys and glory. A Lord's Day number 19, a question and answer number 52 speaks of Christ coming to judge the quick and the dead. With three thoughts in the first place, the church's uplifted heads. In the second place, the returning judge. And in the third place, the twofold verdicts. Christ coming to judge the quick and the dead. The church's uplifted heads. The returning judge, and in the third place, the twofold verdicts. Beloved congregation, then 3 weeks ago, when we were given to consider the first two question and answers of Lord's Day number 19, then you have seen that there was still a question left, and that question, with the Lord's help, we hope to say a few words about the same. And how has it now been in the past weeks? Have you thought about Christ coming again to judge the quick and the dead? The Lord, then he is speaking to the nations. The Lord is speaking to the earth. The Lord is speaking to us and our children, that the time is quickly approaching when the judge shall return. We have read together a chapter out of the book of Revelation, a book that is difficult to understand, a book where there is much symbolic language. Undoubtedly, then there are family circles where at the moment that you are reading out of the book of Revelation, then undoubtedly for boys and girls, for our youth, when you personally read a chapter out of God's Word for yourself before you go to bed, then you are reading in this book. And then what a questions there can be. Because when we read the book of Revelation, then we can read in vivid terms of Christ coming again to judge the quick and the dead. And then as we continue through this book, then some chapters later, then we read of Christ coming to judge the quick and the dead. And boys and girls, that word quick, that means the living. And then there can be questions. The book of Revelation that declares the strife, the warfare between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And where that persecution, that warfare, that shall greatly increase in the latter days of the earth. And now the book of Revelation, we may divide it into seven parts, and that each part that speaks of the church between the ascension of Christ into heaven and Christ coming again to judge the quick and the dead. Thus those seven sections, they may be parallel sections, and to that end, more than once we read of Christ returning to judge the quick and the dead. Then in the book of Revelation, we have heard it out of chapter 13. That is a solemn chapter where John persecuted to the island of Patmos, all concerned about the churches of Asia Minor, the church over the length and the breadth of the earth in the midst of persecution. And then he was given to stand by the sea. And in the scripture, in different places, then the sea is an emblem of the nations of the earth. And then out of that sea, oh, here that sea is very tempest. In Revelation 15, then we read of that sea of glass, where the church is being delivered. And then he is seen out of that sea, a horrible looking beast, part lion, part leopard, a part bear. A difference with the beasts that Daniel has seen in Daniel 7. Then Daniel has seen separate beasts. One as a lion, one as a leopard, one as a bear, and the other one a horrible looking monster. Those beasts, they refer to the kingdom of Babylon, to the kingdom of Persia, to the kingdom of Greek, and finally to the Roman Empire. But now the apostle John, he was given to see all those beasts combined into one. And that beast has received much power from the dragon. Thus thought that beast that speaks of a world empire, seven heads. And then we read that that beast has received a wound, but that he was healed. And that in the way of that wound, and in the way of a certain deliverance, then that beast has received much power, congregation. When we consider what has taken place upon this earth, then do we not see the development more and more of a world order? And then we read that the people of the earth, Because many times when we read the history of the church, when there is a special crisis upon the earth, then the leaders seem to have more power, and the inhabitants are more willing to obey than under normal circumstances. And then that beast with the dragon, then they have made warfare against the saints. Further, we read of another beast that has come out of the earth like a lamb, but it is spoken as a dragon. That is the beast of false religion and human philosophy that may glorify the first beast. And then we have heard it of that mark in the right hand and in the forehead, and those that have not received it, that they may not buy and sell. Then we read of that number, 666, the book of Revelation, that is a book of comfort for the church, because our Lord's day in that answer, that in all my sorrows and persecutions, then also in Revelation 13, then we read that that power was given to the beast and to the dragon, and that number 666 could not come further than number 6. That is the number of the earth, but now they could not come to the number 7. That is the number of fullness, and that is the number of perfection. Then we have heard what a difficult time it shall be for the church of God, but it is a church that has been chosen, a church that has been purchased, a church that has a living king that reigneth over the heavens and over the earth. Then this question and answer that speaks of the fourth step of the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the children can remember, and our young people have learned it in catechism, that in the state of his exaltation, that there are four steps. The first is resurrection. The second, his ascension. The third, his sitting at the right hand of the Father. And now the fourth, that is still to take place. Then that coming to judgment, that is so clearly declared, both in the Old and New Testaments, and Enoch is prophesied already, as we read in Jude 14, Job on the pile of ashes in Job 19, the verses 25 through 27, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and although worms shall destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. We have heard it the past week out of Isaiah 26, verse 19, that the dead shall arise. In Ecclesiastes 12, the verses 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Daniel, in the latter chapters of his book, he has spoken of that return. In the New Testament, then Christ, in Matthew 24, the signs of the time, And in Matthew 25, the verses 31 through 46, then he is in such a solemn way spoken of that great day of judgment. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. In Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. In the book of Revelation, how often there is spoken of Christ coming to judge the quick and the dead. And now that return, that rest upon the justice of God. Oh, it is true here already. Many times the wicked are punished, but much still remains hidden. But on that great day of judgment, then it shall all be opened up. The coming of Christ at rest upon the truth of God, where he is a God that shall not lie. Then that coming of Christ, that rest upon the promise of the Father, that the Father, that he shall give judgment into the hands of the Son, when he shall come upon the clouds of heaven. Oh, in the Scriptures, then there Christ in Matthew 24, then he has spoken of the signs of the time, which are being fulfilled in this day, although in the Scriptures there are also prophecies, blessed prophecies, special prophecies concerning the Jewish nation. And nevertheless, we read in Mark 13, verse 32, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, and not the angels which are in heaven, and neither the Son but the Father. Of course, that text that speaks of Christ in his human nature. And now our instructors, they address, they speak of the coming of Christ to judge the quick and the dead. And then we read, what comfort is it to thee that Christ shall come again to judge the quick and the dead? O congregation, O young and old, what a question, what comfort is it to thee? Then there shall be many, the most, must I say all congregation, in this dark and evil time, the Lord is still working. The Lord is still the same, but let us be honest, how quiet it also is in the life of the people of God concerning that holy expectation. Boys and girls, young people, what comfort is it to thee? Then I hear many say, when you are also listening along in your home, that many boys and girls, young people, that they say, it is no comfort to me. When I think of these things, that Christ shall come as judge, and then not a new heart, still unconverted, that I am still in the wrong company, still under the prince of darkness, then there is no comfort, but it fills me with fear. Let me ask you, what do you do with that fear? Maybe you say, many times I do not try to think of it, because it makes me so fearful and I like to be happy. How must we now become happy, young and old? That is in the service of the Lord. Because what a precious answer that the instructor may give. But also for God's people, what comfort. We read that in all my sorrows and persecutions, then there are many sorrows upon this world. Job 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. What a sorrow there is upon this world in this day. And then it can even be in the life of a true child of God. When they read with uplifted head that they are so bowed down with the cares and the sorrows of the world that they can even be as that woman in Luke 13 that was bowed down for 18 years, bound by the devil with so many perplexities, riddles, mysteries, knots which they cannot untie, sometime at their wits' end, and still with the burden of sin upon their back, that they are filled with many fears, brought to their inner chamber, and that they are given to beg the Lord for that one thing needful, to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of his dear Son, because a child of God needs two things, to meet their Maker, then they need a right to enter eternal life in the way of justification, and they must also be made meet in the way of sanctification. And for the child of God, oh alas, can be so still, that also in the life of the church, that it can seem that hell does not trouble them, and that heaven does not draw them. May it please the Lord to use the solemn callings of the time, that his church may be stirred up. But now in all my sorrows remains a sorrow, good place to be, a blessed place to be, when they are exercised with all their infirmities, with their sins, with their unbelief, with their unthankfulness, with their barrenness that they are not fruitful, with their being so silent, that it becomes a great sorrow and a burden too heavy to bear, that they are given to cry unto the Lord, that in all my sorrows and persecutions, the time that the catechism was written, then the stakes were burning. Think of William Tyndale. That is a beautiful history. May it please the Lord for our family circles, when under the circumstances we may be more together also during the week, that there may be evenings that we lay all the technology aside, and that as families we spend together reading, speaking, the children playing games, the mothers and girls busy with their hands, that we may be given to appreciate one another. There are also nice books about William Tyndale, where he has sacrificed his life, that the scriptures may be translated into the English language. He was burned at the stake in 1536. Our Bible, our King James Version, that is much of William Tyndale's translation in the time that our catechism was being written. Then they were trying to hunt down Gideon de Bray, who was also died on the stake in 1567. Thus, in the time that the catechism was written, then there was much persecution. Then the true church was living close to death, fear of being arrested, and to that end, that in all my sorrows and persecutions, with uplifted head I look. What a faith, what an exercise of faith, with uplifted head, can be in the life of the church, that there can also be a desire to depart, but not with an uplifted head, can be tired of the cares of the time, can be so discouraged as an Elijah under a juniper tree, disappointed as a Jonah under the tree, can be under pain of the body, but not with an uplifted head. But now the instructors, by a lively exercise of faith, with a heart full of love for their Savior, with uplifted head, I look for the very same person who before offered himself for my sake to the tribunal of God and has removed all curse from me, to come as judge from heaven. Our second thought, the returning judge. What a day that shall be, congregation, and that great day of judgment. Then there shall be no spectators. What I mean, that we shall all be included in that day. The billions that are lying under the earth, and when Christ comes, then the billions that are living upon the earth. And then we read that Christ shall come as a thief in the night, and then the trumpet shall be blown. What a day that shall be. On the one side of the earth it shall be night, and on the other side it shall be day. And when the trumpet is blown, then all the laws of nature as we know it here upon the earth, they shall all cease to exist. and that trumpet, that shall be a call to come before the judge. Then there shall be mothers at home with the children. There shall be mothers in the night watches that are feeding their infant child. There shall be fathers planting their crops, but the tractor shall cease to run. There shall be fathers that are returning on their truck. Oh, when that trumpet sounds, then there shall be a desire of husbands and wives, many. It is true. I read in Matthew 24, verse 12, that because iniquity shall abound, that the love of many shall wax cold. Then what a blessing it is when by the common goodness of the Lord, that He grants great love between husbands and wives, between parents and children. Then when the trumpet shall be blown, how it shall be the desire, after they have bid farewell, kissed each other farewell in the morning, that they may meet one another once more to embrace each other. When the trumpet sounds, and when the judge appears upon the great white throne, but it shall not be possible. Then on places upon the earth, there shall be children in school, and then the trumpet will sound. The desire of those children, how they shall weep, that they may go to their home and be with their parents when the trumpet will sound. But congregation, it is true, we shall all stand there, but personally, we shall appear before the judge to give an account of what we have done, and whether in this time state that we have learned to bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whether as a poor sinner we have needed the judge to be our Savior, that we may be washed and cleansed from all our sins. Oh, when the trumpet sounds, then there shall be fathers and mothers that come out of the hospital with a precious little child which the Lord has entrusted unto them. And then when they come outside, they shall behold the judge upon the clouds of heaven. There shall be couples that are making their vows, or couples that may leave the church, who have begun life's journey together as husband and wife, and then they come outside and the trumpet shall blow, and they shall be called to appear before the judge to also give an account how they have met one another and spend that time in courtship. The trumpet shall sound, and then the judge shall appear upon the great white throne to judge the quick and the dead. Let us first sing Psalter 17, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. The Lord, the everlasting King, is seated on His judgment throne. and the righteous judge of all the world will make his perfect justice known. And what follows, Psalter 17, 2, 3, and 4. When Christ comes to judge the world, then also on the one side of the world it shall be night. And then boys and girls, young and old, then we shall not be awoke by an alarm clock. Or boys and girls, when you were called to arise in the morning and then to bow your knees and ask the Lord, thank the Lord for his keeping, and that the Lord may remember you in the day and to come to breakfast. But then that people shall be awoke by the sound of the trumpet. And then Christ shall appear as judge upon the clouds of heaven, and young and old, then we shall all see him upon the great white throne. But what a difference there then shall be among the inhabitants of the earth. And now the instructor, O people of God. And then when we read this Lord's Day, the calling, to make our calling and election sure, with what a firmness, with what a joy, with what an expectation, with uplifted heads, looking to heaven, because there is the Savior of the church at the right hand of the Father, for the welfare of the church. We read in John 14 that he has went to prepare a place for them. In natural life, when a loved one is gone, and to return, then with what an expectation, then it can be that we look down the laneway, out our window, whether our beloved is returning. Then with the absence of our beloved one, then our thoughts are with him or her. And now the instructor, he may speak of an uplifted head, and then for the very same person, thus, for the true child of God, it is true. Here it is by faith, declared in the Word of God. Then it shall be by sight, that they shall be given to behold the Judge on the clouds of heaven, the very same person whom has become so necessary, who has become so precious, who was willing to suffer and to die, but was also exalted, oh, here in the time. Then we find him as a babe in Matthew 2, called upon to flee to Egypt. Matthew 8, verse 20, no place to lay his head. At the end of life's journey, then he was brought before the tribunal. Annas, Caiaphas, the high priest, upon his Pilate, before Herod, then he was the judge. He was the judged, but now, in the great day of judgment, then he shall be the judge. It shall be a powerful summons, and no one excluded, and no way to escape. But now for the church of God, who before offered himself for my sake to the tribunal of God, then the child of God, they have been exercised with other tribunals before the great day of judgment. Then in the first place, then in the moment of regeneration, then that court, that tribunal, is set up in their heart, in their conscience, that they receive a knowledge of the Lord in his justice, of his goodness, of the judge, and of their sins. And now it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make room for another tribunal, a knowledge of the tribunal, where Christ as an innocent one has been condemned, and as a fruit thereof, by the application of the Holy Spirit, to be given to experience a tribunal, where their sins are pardoned. As I read in Job 33, the verses 23 and 24, deliver him from going down into the pit, for I have found a ransom. There the instructors have spoken of, who before offered himself for my sake to the tribunal of God, and has removed all curse from me, to come as judge from heaven. Our third thought, a twofold verdict. Then after that summons, when all the inhabitants of the earth, when they shall be called to appear before the judge upon the great white throne, then a separation shall be made. Of course, that separation is made already here in the time, because when the Lord converts a sinner, then they become a separated people, and then they are separated by their desires, by their longings, by their exercises, by their confession, and by their walk. Because Christ has said toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount, by their fruits ye shall know them. And nevertheless, on that great day of judgment, it shall be a perfect separation. And then a temporal believer who has perhaps confessed much, but has never experienced the wonderful work of grace, then it shall become evident in Matthew 25, the verses 32 and 33. There we read of that separation, that the angels, because when the judge appears, it shall be with a thousand and thousands of angels, and they shall separate the goats from the sheep. Then the goats, they shall be placed on the right, on the left, and the sheep, they shall be placed on the right, and young and old, in that day. Then we shall receive a place before the judge. In that day, it shall not be in the way of invitation. Oh, we are still living in the precious day of grace. My unconverted fellow travelers, under the solemn times and under the solemn callings, when the footsteps of the approaching judge, the coming of the day of judgment, when it is drawing nigh, oh, bow then your knees and ask the Lord for that wonderful work of grace. I have read where it was and when it was, I do not know, that there was a family circle, and alas, it was not so good in that family circle, because the father, who ought to be the head of the household, he wanted nothing to do with religion and with the Bible, a great grief for his wife and for mother. And then that mother, with the help of the Lord, then she has tried to instruct her little children in the things of the Lord. And then she was reading the Bible, And when mother has done that, then that father has withdrawn at a distance. And then that mother was reading out of Matthew 25 concerning the goats and the sheep. And then after that little daughter said to mother, mother, that means that father is a goat. And it has pleased the Lord to use that simple question of his little daughter as an arrow in his heart, and that he was given to beg for mercy. Oh, what a separation it shall be, all on the right hand, the Lord's people. And then there shall be perfection here in the time. God's people can have their squabbles, their differences, but in that day, then there shall be no difference between Paul and Barnabas. Then it shall be a people that has been chosen from eternity, a people that has been purchased by the blood of Christ, a people that has experienced the wonderful things of the Lord, the one led deeper and further than the other. In that day, there shall not be one missing, but on the left hand, what a mixed multitude. There shall be heathens, there shall be Hindus, there shall be Buddhists, there shall be multitudes that have sat under a strange and a false religion. There shall be mockers, there shall be cursers, there shall be those that have desecrated the Lord's day so grievously. There shall be those that have committed the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. There shall also be church people that have sat under the truth, that have heard what is necessary, that we become a poor sinner and are washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a mixed multitude it shall be. But all enemies of the Lord and of his dear Son, young and old, on which side shall we be placed? If Christ would return in this evening hour to judge the quick and the dead, where would then the angels place us? Should that not be the most important question? There is no third group. There shall be no spectators. And then even before the judge, what a judgment it shall be. Many times here in the time, then the judge hears such conflicting testimony that it is not so clear. But for this judge, he knoweth all things. He is the searcher of heart. But even before the judge begins the examination, then the inhabitants of the earth, they shall know where they must spend eternity. Oh, as it were, the burning furnace, as it was with Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 3, when it was soaked seven times hotter afore those three friends of Daniel. And then I read that those on the left, that they shall be given to pray, we may say in sincerity, but not to the judge. It shall be too late, forever too late. But then I read in Revelation 6, verse 16, that they shall cry to the hills and to the mountains to cover them from the wrath of the Lamb. And then we shall be judged, and the book shall be opened. Oh, for the wicked, depart from me. But for the child of God, come. The instructors, they have said, because concerning everlasting life, there is spoken thereof in Lord's Day 22, who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation. My unconverted fellow travelers, bow yet your knees and beg the Lord that by almighty grace that he may place you under the banner of King Jesus to experience the wonderful things of the Lord. Ah, there is no service like his, such a blessed service. It is true, many a trial and many a tribulation, we are still in the day of grace. But what this Lord's Day speaks of, cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation. But now for the people of God, but you'll translate me, thus the beginning of eternal life and joy that is experienced here below, but shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joys and glory, young and old. Where is our journey to, boys and girls? When you think of Christ coming to judge, do you sometime look at the clouds and wonder whether Christ is coming, young people, in the midst of all the temptations, the Lord is gathering a church. Use the means faithfully. The Lord has promised to bless it. I even read, those that seek me early, they shall find me, fathers and mothers, middle-aged and elderly ones. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? How is it with the family circle? Then the family circles, they shall stand before the judge. How is it in this evening, when you sit in your homes? Then how many are prepared? Maybe none, maybe one, may there be more. There is one thing needful for each and every one of us. We shall come through this time, shall become more difficult as we come closer to that day. Also concerning the circumstances of the time, the far-reaching effects, it is all in the hand of the Lord. Oh, are we prepared? the judge is coming to judge the quick and the dead. The Apostle Paul has written to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Amen. Let us close. Lord, who was able to speak of that solemn day with the fitting solemnity and a holy urgency that we may be prepared. We humbly ask thee, may it please thee to be the after preacher. We may commence another week. Then once more we may humbly ask thee to place a wall round about us, and if it is different, to give submission. May the prayers be multiplied to that end, but may it be our concern that the speaking of the Lord, that it may be used for the coming of thy kingdom, and that thy name may be glorified. Watch over us this night. Wilt thou grant strength and courage for the labors which we may still perform? Wilt thou keep us from harm and danger? Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? Wilt thou guide our thoughts, our words, and our deeds? Lord, may we be found more to be a praying and a begging people. Wilt thou forgive us of all the sins, also of this day, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 439, the stanzas 2 and 3. Yet in my care, my grief and pain, I ever, Lord, with thee remain. My hand is clasped by thine forever. And what follows? Psalter 439, the stanzas 2 and 3. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.